Shotgun. Marino throws deep downfield. It is caught by Fryer. Yes! Touchdown! Touchdown, Dolphins!
With in-depth analysis on the Miami Dolphins.
The Rangers call! That's on 4th and 5!
Live from the DolphinsTalk.com studios.
In my opinion, the greatest fans in the NFL, Miami Dolphin fans.
DolphinsTalk.com daily.
All right, Miami! Dolphins fans, how are you today? And thank you for listening to DolphinsTalk.com Daily, the most listened to daily Miami Dolphins podcast on the internet. I am your host, Mike, and we are broadcasting live from the DolphinsTalk.com studios on this Monday, July the 30th. And we're going to recap Monday's practice today. Now, today's practice wasn't full pads, but the team had to move inside the practice bubble because there was lightning in the area and some bad weather, so the fans in attendance did have to leave and go home. As when the team moves inside to the practice bubble, the fans are not allowed in to watch, only the media is. So that's unfortunate if you're one of the fans in attendance. But today the Dolphins were in full pads for their first practice, so let's talk about that right off the top. The first we'll start off with the injuries. Defensive tackle Gabe Wright was back at practice today. He seems to be 100% healthy again. He was a participant. AJ Derby in his foot, Jake Brendel in his right calf are still out. They missed practice, so those guys are still sitting on the sidelines here waiting to get back in it. Hopefully, since Miami has an off day on Tuesday, there's no practice tomorrow. They return to the practice field Wednesday. Hopefully, either or both AJ Derby and Jake Brendel are back out on the field participating. That would be good to see, but no word on the severity of their injuries, really. Wide receiver Isaiah Ford did participate in practice, but for the third day in a row, he was wearing that red jersey, which means he cannot be touched. It's a non-contact jersey, but Isaiah Ford was out there again participating just in that red jersey. And I guess we'll start talking about Isaiah Ford, because through the first five practices, this kid has really impressed, I would say, everyone with how he's looked on the field. And I know it's only a week. I know we're still in July. But after five practices, Isaiah Ford, along with Torrey McTyer, are clearly having the best training camps, I think, for the Miami Dolphins. And it's still very early, and we'll see how they continue to develop as the weeks go on, as they get into preseason games. But if Isaiah Ford can come on here and he continues to improve and continues to play the way he's looked here in practice, it's going to help the Miami Dolphins, not just now in the short term, but I think it's going to help them in the long term. And it's going to help them at the end of this upcoming year, which is a long ways, I know, when they have to make a decision on Devontae Parker. Excuse me. And we know Miami picked up the fifth-year option on Parker, but they have the ability to rescind that at any time and sort of just let him walk. But Parker, as we talk about a lot on this podcast, has underperformed, has underwhelmed, and sort of not been very good since he's come to Miami as a very high draft pick in round one. And if that were to continue in 2018 and he were to still be a, you know, I guess we'll just call it what it is, a total bust and just not play well, Miami's not going to bring him back for year five. They will let him walk. And if someone like Isaiah Ford, you know, can sort of step in, he can't be any worse than Parker, let's be honest, after this year, sort of step into that role, be put into the mix, be put into the rotation more regular, be put into the rotation on a more regular basis, that would be a great thing for the Miami Dolphins. Again, we're all hoping Devontae Parker becomes that stud number one wide receiver. We really do. We hope he sort of takes that next step. But if he doesn't, it's nice to know that there's someone on the roster who's sort of coming along here and who is developing at a nice clip to maybe be a guy who can step in his role in 2019 and beyond. But I think Isaiah Ford, if this continues throughout the summer and throughout the rest of training camp, which hopefully it does, you know, he's going to sort of force his way onto the field playing the way he's been playing, because he has looked tremendous. through the first 5 days of practice. There's that. Let's switch over real quick to the defensive side of the ball. And one name we really haven't talked about a lot here through the first few practices is Xavien Howard. And I think the reason is because when Xavien Howard, when he's doing his job right, you shouldn't hear his name. Because that means he is shutting down wide receivers and not giving them an inch, not giving them any space, and not letting them make plays. So Xavien Howard, we really haven't heard his name through the first five practices, and that's a very, very good thing. I think we all know how he ended the year last year. He had the two big games against the Broncos and then against the Patriots on Monday night. And he ended the year, that final month or so, playing at a very high level. And we all hoped he would sort of carry that over this year into the 2018 season. Well, he certainly carried it over to training camp. Because right now, every day, he's showing up in practice and he's bringing his A game. And he's shutting people down. And to me, when you look at that side of the ball for the Miami Dolphins on defense, we know they have to replace Sue. And that's a big, big, big question mark. We know the linebacker group, a lot of question marks there, a lot of guys who are really not proven. But if Xavien Howard becomes that true number one cornerback, that lockdown cornerback, he will be a guy who changes the look of the Miami Dolphins on defense. Because if you have the faith in him to put him out there on an island, locked up against our opponent's number one wide receiver, then you can sort of shift the rest of the defense to the opposite side. You can give help to some other players. And it just changes the entire field for the Miami Dolphins on defense. Changes the way they play. Changes the way Matt Burke will call a game. It changes everything. So hopefully Xavien Howard continues to play at this level. Continues to get better, you know, day after day. And he can be that true number one lockdown NFL cornerback. The kid's got all the potential in the world. He's got the size. He's got the speed. He has the ability to be a Pro Bowl player someday. And I think this is a big year for him. Year one for him, he missed almost all of training camp because he was hurt. And then in the regular season, he was, you know, hurt on and off. He didn't play a lot. So year one was sort of rough for him. Last year, you saw the light bulb go off about halfway through. You saw him start to peak towards the end of the year. And hopefully he just continues to be an ascending player who gets better and better. Because to me, he's the key on that side of the ball. Yes, other things are important, like linebackers, like who's going to step in for Sue, as I said. That stuff's important. But if Xavien Howard raises his game to where I think many people now think it can go and be the guy many people think he can be, it will help that side of the ball tremendously. So just wanted to mention that because we really haven't talked about him a lot through the first five practices, but there's a reason we haven't talked about him a lot, and it's because he's playing that damn good. And so there's that. Let's talk next about Mike Gesicki. And Mike Gesicki today was also with the first string, once again, at tight end for some plays. Not the whole practice, but some plays. And he was even out there in some run blocking plays. So that's good. That's what we need to see. Look, Mike Gesicki, as I say on this podcast, he doesn't have to be a great blocker. He's got to be an adequate blocker. And the only way he will get better as a blocker is to sort of throw him into the fire and line him up with the first string on offense and let him try to block our first string defense. It's the only way he will improve. So sort of throw him into the fire. Let him get as many reps as he can there. Because let's be honest, our tight end group is really not that good. It's really not that good. And Mike Gesicki is the future there. He's the guy we need to be able to have on the field as much as possible. So hopefully he continues to improve there. What I read today was, you know, he was very good in the passing plays, which is good. But, you know, he still struggles in the running game. So hopefully he will improve there, but I want to see him with the first string. Just throw him into the fire. Let him sort of sink or swim, but it's the only way he will get better. So Mike Gesicki was back up on the depth chart today with the first string at tight end. Brock Osweiler, not very good again. He had another interception today. I'm not going to harp on that because, as I've said, and I'm not going to do it every show, the guys like Fails, Osweiler, and Bryce Petty. They just are not any good. And I don't know what Miami will do there, but Osweiler today had another bad day. Going back to defense, opposite Xavier Howard, we've seen through the first four practices, three guys get an opportunity to start opposite him. For the first few days, it was Lippitt, then it was Torrey McTyer, then on Sunday, it was Cordrea Tankersley. Today, on Monday, they went back to Torrey McTyer. He got his second shot as a starter. This is going to be a fun little battle to watch. And who wins that starting cornerback job? I said on the podcast last week I would be shocked if Torrey McTyer won a starting job. I really would. I think he's sort of being rewarded here for his high level of play through the first week of practice. And the coaching staff might be trying to send a message to guys like Lippitt and Tankersley saying, this job ain't yours, and we have no problem throwing Torrey McTyer into the mix and handing him this job if he's outperforming you. So there might be a little bit of that going on. But Torrey McTyer, again, he's playing well. He's looking very good out there on the field. And he got another chance to run with the first team today. So kudos to him. There were two fights today in practice. As I said on yesterday's show, the first day they put on full pads, you can take it to the bank. There will be at least one fight. Today we had two, and one of them is not even surprising. The first fight was between Bobby McCain and Danny Amendola. For those of you who remember, back when Amendola was with New England, I think a year or two ago, those two guys got into a knockdown, drag-out fight in the middle of a game. So those two guys, no love lost there. After the little fight today and the pushing and shoving and all that stuff, they did shake hands and sort of squash it, which is good. Later on in practice, there was a fight between rookie Minka Fitzpatrick and Jakeem Grant. You know, your typical training camp fight. A lot of pushing, a lot of shoving, a lot of some other guys then get involved and they all get broken up. But we had the first, I guess, official training camp fights today in practice. Rookie free agent kicker Greg Joseph, who had a miserable day on Friday, who missed so many kicks, he bounced back today, went 7 for 7, and included him hitting one from over 50 yards. So good for him. Look, he's not going to win a job here on this team. He's not. But good for the kid for having a rebound day after having a miserable day on Friday. He came back today, went 7 for 7, hit one over 50 yards. Nice to see. Hopefully, you know, like I said, he's not going to win the job, but good for him, and nice to see him have a strong day. Let's talk about the offensive line, because once again, and today they're wearing full pads. So you get a better judge of the offensive line when they're in full pads, and they're really going at it. The offensive line today was bad. You know, I mean, once again, the offensive line did not have a strong day. Through the first five practices, they haven't looked great. Again, we're still in July. I'm not going to read a ton into it. But we, you know, heading into next week, or heading into later this week as we head into next week, the offensive line does have to pick it up a bit here. They do have to start playing a little bit better, because for the Miami Dolphins to win games in 2018, they need to protect Ryan Tannehill, period, end of story. If you want Mike Gesicki on the field at all, then the offensive line needs to play well, because you cannot add another liability in the pass blocking game. If the offensive line's not playing well. So this offensive line really does need to sort of pick it up here. Like I said, we're still less than a week into training camp. Not going to panic. Not going to go nuts here. But they do have to play better. And if you really wanted to, you could look at this in one of two ways. You could look at this as the glass half full, and that our defensive line is going to be really, really good, and nobody is going to be able to block them. That's taking the optimistic approach. You want to take the pessimistic approach is our offensive line still stinks. And so it's all about how your perspective in life and on this Miami Dolphins roster is. You can look at it one way or you can look at it the other. I don't know. But all I do know is the offensive line is going to need to start to improve here as the weeks go on into training camp. Last story, which was sort of the big news of the day, I guess, although I think it's a little bit to do about nothing, but we'll talk about it real quick. And that's regarding Albert Wilson. After practice today, the media, and I believe it was Armando Salguero, asked head coach Adam Gase, when he was meeting with the media, why aren't we seeing free agent wide receiver Albert Wilson in the slot more, to which Adam Gase pretty much said, well, he's not a slot wide receiver. to which then the media then pushed back a little bit going, well, you gave the guy a three-year deal, $24 million, $14.5 million guaranteed for being a slot receiver with the Chiefs. You gave him all that money and you're not going to use him in the slot. To which Adam Gase goes, he's not a slot receiver. We don't have a plan right now how we're going to use him. We're going to use him a little bit of everywhere, but he's really not a slot receiver. Which, you know, the media sort of, you know, and to their credit, as they should, was like, that's weird, that's odd. Why would you pay a guy for being a productive slot receiver, sign him, and then not use him in the role where he was productive in? So I get why the media is questioning that. But as I've been saying on this podcast, and when we had Albert Wilson on this podcast, I think it was the last week of June, when I talked to him on this podcast the last week of June, he said he wants to line up everywhere. He wants to be on the outside. He wants to be on the inside. You can line him up wherever he wants. He can do both, and he feels confident lining up anywhere on the field. So I know to him, he'll do either one, and he probably can do either one, but at the end of the day, you know, he should be used primarily as a slot receiver. If they want to line him up at running back every now and then for a few package of plays, no problem with that at all. Because like I said on yesterday's show, I think that might be smart lining him up in the backfield. Because if you send him out in a passing pattern, if he's lined up at running back, there is not a linebacker in this league who can stay with him stride for stride. I think that would be wise. On the outside, I think having him on the outside and having him ready to go on the outside is smart, just because we can't trust someone like Devontae Parker, having someone in that spot ready to go should that be needed. Once again, no problem with that. But at the end of the day, I really do think he's a slot receiver. And I know Adam Gase, look, he's probably sick and tired of talking to the media every day after practice. I get it. But that's a fair question he was asked today. And for him to sort of say, we don't have a plan, he's not a slot receiver, you know, I'm not buying. I'm sorry, I'm not buying. And I'm calling BS on that with Adam Gase. Albert Wilson's a slot receiver, period, end of story. If you want to use him in some other ways, I get it, that's fair, and I think that's a fair answer to the media, but, you know, to say he's not a slot receiver, I think is a bit disingenuous, but, so we'll see how that plays out, but that seemed to be the big hubbaloo after practice today when the media was sort of peppering head coach Adam Gase with questions on Albert Wilson and how he will be used and all that stuff, so we'll see how it plays out, but I think they're going to line Albert Wilson up, as they should, in many different ways. You want to line him up on the outside, the slot, running back, because you have to get him the ball so many times a game, because he has that ability to break a big play and take it to the end zone in a variety of ways. I want to see him get the ball on a reverse pretty much, you know, once a game, I think, at least find a way to give him the ball in space. I want to see him line up at running back and you're throwing the ball. You want to line him up in the slot. You want to line him up on the outside. And he, in high school, he was a great high school quarterback. You want to sort of pitch him the ball and let him throw it every now and then. I got no problem with that. He's sort of that Swiss Army knife where he can do a variety of things. And I think Miami must take advantage of that. But like I said, for Adam Gase to say he's not a slot receiver, I mean, that's, I don't know. He might have just been having a bad day, didn't really want to talk to the press, and maybe was just giving him a hard time. So being a little difficult with them, which some of these NFL coaches do, because, you know, it's the part about their job they hate the most. You ask any NFL coach, the part about the job they hate the most is having to talk to the press. And when they have to do it every day after every practice, I'm sure it does sort of wear on them. But we'll see how that plays out. But, you know, it made a lot of headlines today and a lot of news. Even some of the national outlets picked it up that Miami, why did they pay Wilson all this money if they're not going to use him the way he should? So it sort of blew up a story. But like I said, I think it's a lot to do about nothing. So that's all for today's show. One more tidbit. It's sort of Miami Dolphins related. The week one game against the Tennessee Titans is going to air on Fox. Now, usually when two teams from the AFC play, the game's on CBS. But because of the Thursday night, Sunday night, Monday night schedule this year, Fox lost a lot of games. So CBS had to send them some games to sort of balance out the Sunday schedule. This is one of the games that were sent. So Tennessee at Miami, week one's on Fox. The announcers for that game were announced today. They are going to be Sam Rosen and former wide receiver Chris Carter, who did have a cup of coffee with the Dolphins. Sam Rosen, one of the legendary broadcasters in all sports. Once you hear his voice, you'll know Sam Rosen, and he's great. He's really good at what he does. Chris Carter, I'm not sure if he's done commentary before for NFL games. Maybe he has for some college games. I'm not really sure. So that'll be interesting to see. But Sam Rosen, you know, an amazing broadcaster, and he will be calling the Week 1 game. Let's do some housekeeping here with our website at DolphinsTalk.com. On Tuesday, I will drop a podcast late afternoon, early evening, and I will be joined by a former Miami Dolphins player. Don't want to say who just yet, but I have a former Miami Dolphins player lined up and scheduled to join us on the podcast. On a Wednesday, I will be joined by a current media member who covers the team, so we'll be talking about them. And later on in the week, I might be talking with another former player. I'm just trying to iron out the day and time we'll have him on. So this week will be heavy on the guests. We're going to have on a bunch of guests on the podcast, so be on the lookout for that. Tuesday, tomorrow, there's no practice. No practice tomorrow. It's their off day. They will be back on the practice field Wednesday morning, 8:30 a.m., bright and early. Hopefully the weather is good, so for the fans that are heading out there in attendance, they can watch the practice. So hopefully the weather holds up. But 8:30 a.m. Wednesday is the next practice. As always, check out our website, DolphinsTalk.com. We have a bunch of new articles up, a bunch of new videos up, a bunch of new podcasts up. We have so much new content up right now. Check it out. There's new content going up all the time each day. DolphinsTalk.com. Be sure to follow me on Twitter at DolphinsTalk. Be sure, if you want to send me an email, I can be reached via email, DolphinsTalk1977@gmail.com. For those of you who are listening to this podcast, be sure to subscribe to it, whether you listen on SoundCloud, as my cell phone goes off, if you listen on SoundCloud, iTunes, whatever, subscribe to it, leave us a comment, it's always appreciated. So I think that's it for today. Everyone, enjoy the rest of your Monday, and we'll talk to you again after a while.
Thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. Be sure to visit DolphinsTalk.com every day for all of your latest Miami Dolphins news.